The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas, for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Welcome to Real Pod. It's your host, Victoria Garrick Brown, and this is the podcast where we hold nothing back.
Oh, so we're getting deep, huh?
I really cried for 12 days straight.
Why do I want to be perfect? There's nothing in my life that is perfect.
Every week, I'll bring you honest, unfiltered, and eye-opening conversations to help uncover the real in all of us.
I crave the type of content that you're talking about.
I actually felt insecure.
Oh my God, am I going to cry?
Let me just unload everything.
New episodes every Wednesday. Leave those filters at the door because it's time to get real. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Real Pod. Thank you for tuning in today. This is an episode that is going to be very close to my heart. And I've been wanting to record this and open up about it for a while because I know that I'm not the only one who struggles with body image and food and has had an eating disorder. And over the past few months, I have been struggling with this more than I probably ever have since having my binge eating disorder. And I do feel like I am kind of treading towards the end of a tunnel right now. Like I can see the light, and that's why I have the confidence to share this all with you today. I certainly did not. Like 2-3 months ago, I was so terrified of my own thoughts. I didn't even tell Max or any of my best friends or anyone what I was thinking. And it was really lonely. And I obviously strive to be authentic and real all the time. And over the past few months, I've dropped some Instagram stories here and there of like, you know, struggling with body image a lot recently. Like, you're not alone if you feel the same. And there's just a bigger story to that. And I want to talk about that today. There are a few things that I want to say before I get started, because I just feel like, you know, first of all, if you're in a good place with your body and food currently, maybe don't listen. I feel like I've never said don't listen to my podcast, but I just know how fragile we can be and how difficult it is to get into a good stride with your body image and your self-esteem and your relationship with food. And so I don't want this episode or me kind of talking about some of the really negative, toxic, honestly, like fat phobic thoughts I've had to interfere with you and your process wherever you're at. I'm not proud of the thoughts that I've been having, but that's the reality of having an eating disorder voice that lives in your brain. And she's been asleep and in the attic for a pretty long time, but those thoughts have come back into my mind. So anyways, I just kind of want to give that warning because I don't want to say anything that's triggering to someone. So just, you know, come back to this when the time feels right, or keep listening if you'd like. On that note, if you're my family or a good friend listening to this and I have not kind of opened up to you about this, I don't want you to feel like it's anything against you. Like you're like, oh my God, I'm learning this about Vic the same time thousands of other people are. It's honestly just like such a personal thing. And I don't need anyone in my life to say anything or like be involved. And I think that's kind of what I've realized over even the past few weeks as I was like preparing to record this and organizing my thoughts. And I've had a notes page going on my phone for a while. I've been like, you know, I don't want this person or this friend to think like, oh, she didn't open up to me. It is literally nothing personal. It has everything to do with me. And these just being like hard conversations to have. Oh, and just one more quick thing is like, why am I recording this episode then if this is something that I, you know, haven't really been opening up to with people in my own life? And honestly, the reason is just because I feel like now more than ever, we need to have open conversations about body image and our struggles around it because of kind of like where society is heading. And I'm going to talk a lot about that today with like the rise of Ozempic and heroin chic. And I have so many thoughts. And I just know from my experience that when I keep it all to myself and I bottle it up, I start to feel even more lonely, more insecure, more like I'm the only one, more like everyone else is okay and I'm the only one that's not. And I don't want any of you to feel that way. And so I guess I waited to be at a place where like I can talk about this openly and feel strong, because at the end of the day, like if I'm posting things on Instagram and I'm talking about them on my podcast, I'm opening that up for criticism, judgment, feedback, comments. You know, I'm letting other people in to say things. And so I never want to open up about something until I feel strong enough to kind of handle whatever could be said back to me, whether it's positive or negative. So I'm sharing this because I want to comfort anyone else out there who is maybe having a similar struggle. And lastly, I know that a lot of you view me as an inspiration to you on your own body image and eating disorder journey. And that means a lot to me. And I know that I am looked to almost as like a leader in that way. And I have felt really solid about my own body image in relationship with food since 2017, honestly. So this is truly the first time since I've healed from my eating disorder where I have felt like my ship has rocked. I honestly don't even know if rocked is the right term, because I imagine a rock is like, you know, there's a big wave and your ship rocks and that's like one day. But this has felt like persistent, like days, weeks, months. It's almost like my ship has been like infiltrated by these like toxic neighboring pirates. And I'm just like trying to fight them off to maintain my nice, steady sailing ship, if you can follow me on that visual. So let's get into it, shall we? So like I said, I've had a really solid relationship with my body and food for many years now. But recently, I haven't. And I've been trying to think about what was the first thing that really knocked over the first domino for me to kind of have this thought spiral. And I realized that the first kind of crack was I did a closet clean out, and I posted some videos about that before we moved apartments, and it was really fun and I loved doing the clean out. However, when doing the clean out, I came across this pair of pants, these like black theory pants that I used to wear when I was speaking. It was kind of like my speaking uniform when I was first out of school in 2019. And I would wear these black pants and then I would kind of rotate my top. And I hadn't like seen these pants in years. They've just been sitting there. But I've also always thought to myself, oh, my body is exactly the same as it was when I graduated college. Like, I don't know. I don't weigh myself. My clothes for the most part, like, fit. I've had some of the same shirts, some of the same jeans. I've gotten new things. I do think I was closer to like an 8 in college, and I'm definitely a true 10 now. But like I said, I didn't pay attention to it because I was very secure in my body positive mindset of like, bodies change and it's all good. And like fluctuating didn't really bother me at all. But I tried on these pants and they like would not go past my thighs. And usually I feel like, you know, there's a predominant version of me that would be like, who cares? All good. Like, these pants don't fit me. Let me get pants that serve me. You know, all the things you hear me and see me talk about that I really do mean. But for some reason on this particular day, I was like, wait, these pants don't fit me? Like, this is like pants that I've had since I've been out of school. And I guess like maybe in my mind, I'm like, oh, I had all these ups and downs, like going from my high school body to my college body. And then I was my binging body. And then I was my intuitively eating body in college. And now I'm in my intuitively eating body out of college. Like, I don't know. Maybe I've had this way of like rationalizing, like if I'm the same post college, like that maybe felt like a security for me. I don't know. This is me like trying to assess it. But I was just caught off guard that pants that I thought would fit me didn't. And I think that was just like me thinking about it more for the first time. Like, oh, that's weird. Like, I feel like I look the same in the photos of me wearing these pants as I do now. Do I not? Oh my gosh. Like, have I gained weight and no one's told me because they wouldn't tell me because I'm really vocal about not talking to me about my body and I'm the one that doesn't know and everyone else knows and how embarrassing? And then I'm thinking on the other side of my brain, well, there's nothing wrong with weight gain, Victoria. Why would you be upset about that? Like, weight gain is totally fine and larger bodies are totally fine. Like, you know, so it's like this dual conflictingness of like this eating disorder voice like beginning to grow, but then like this current version of me then shaming myself for having those thoughts because I should be stronger than that. And I know better than that. So that was kind of like the first thing. And then I think from there, it just sort of began to grow on itself. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp, and I am really glad that it is because I opened up recently in therapy about the body image issues I am experiencing, and it was the first time I had done that in a really long time, but I'm so glad that I had that safe space to talk about what I was experiencing and have someone help me through it. I have been going to therapy on and off for so many years now, and I truly don't know where I'd be without these thoughtful conversations that have allowed me to grow so much as a person. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. I know how scary it can be to open up about your problems or the things that you're thinking and struggling with, but I promise you can do it. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/realpod to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, better, HELP.com/realpod, where you can get 10% off your first month. I'm super proud of you. If you are thinking of going or finding a therapist that's right for you, this is your sign. I believe in you, and I know you're going to feel amazing once you have that conversation. Give BetterHelp a try and head to betterhelp.com/realpod for 10% off your first month. I also want to give a shout out to AG1. I am literally obsessed with AG1. I'm not kidding you. I went to 2 coffees this week and I showed up with my AG1 travel pack. Sometimes I drink coffee, sometimes I don't, but I always drink AG1. So I have the travel packs on me no matter where I am. I used to only use them when I was out of town, and now I always have them in my purse because when I met these people for coffee, I literally was like, excuse me, hi barista, can I please have a glass of ice water? Thank you so much. And then I opened my packet, I mixed it, and that was my drink of choice. I'm not kidding you when I say I am obsessed with it. The reason I'm obsessed with it is because taking care of your health isn't always easy. And I view AG1 as a really simple way to take care of your baseline health. I've been drinking it for years now. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day. And it makes me feel energized, focused, and nourished. It helps me also not overthink the nutrients I'm eating throughout the day because I know I had my AG1. Each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that also is powerfully simple. Trust me on this. It's game changing. I think it's life changing. And I think everyone should be drinking AG1. Start with AG1, try AG1, and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/realpod. That's drinkag1.com/realpod. Check it out. I want to kind of share, and I bullet pointed here, what it has really looked like for me the past few months. And it's a mixture of like, beginning to get in my head more than ever and kind of reminding myself, oh my God, this was what it was like to like be struggling and have an eating disorder. Is like, I'm constantly thinking about what I'm eating and what I can't eat. And then I was like overthinking my size, you know, Cubby and Jonathan's wedding is coming up. That's my brother and my soon to be sister-in-law. And I bought a dress for it like months and months and months in advance, like probably 6 months in advance. I was the first bridesmaid to choose her dress. And I didn't think anything of that because, you know, I'm always a 10, or like that's how it's been for the past 3 years. So I get it in a size 10 and it fits me now and it'll fit me in 6 months because I have a stable relationship with food. That's what I tell myself. However, you know, I was the first one to kind of text the group chat with my dress, and I realized like no one else was even like remotely close to getting one. And then I start to think more, you know, then this is me just overthinking, oh my gosh, am I crazy that I got a dress this far out? Like, other girls aren't. They're going to wait till like 3 months prior because then they'll know like where their bodies are at. And is it crazy that I got this dress? And now that I got it, I have to make sure that I fit in it in 6 months. Like, you know, it's like I started having those thoughts. I'm just like, I'm kind of just like spiraling at this point. Like I'm second guessing all of my thoughts and I'm like having this fear of what other people are thinking of me. And then like kind of second guessing the confidence that like I have with food in my body and the fear The fear of slipping back into my eating disorder is terrifying. It's terrifying. And it like makes me get emotional because it's like it's so not enjoyable, like to state the obvious, but like in the throes of that, like it really felt like it like controlled me and it ruled me and it took the happiness and the joy away from my days and my relationships. And because I've spent like so many years away from that version of me, I just get used to like where I am now. And I don't let the thoughts about food and my body consume my everyday and my life. And I've said this on a few podcasts, but I'm like weirdly the kind of person where I like don't have the best memory. Like I am very good at telling a story of something that happened like a week ago. But for some reason, like especially with trauma, like I kind of forget what it was like. And there's even things from my childhood that were really traumatic. And if I had to like sit down and talk about that specific thing for an hour, I don't even know if I could tap into it because like I just like forget. And that's honestly why I was taking notes throughout this whole past few months, because I knew I would want to talk about it with you all at some point. And so I kind of like kept notes in my phone because I was like, you're going to forget like what this is feeling like. But all that to say, the fear of getting into the cycle of restricting and binge eating is terrifying to me. And I'm sure people with eating disorders can relate to like so desperately not wanting to go back to that place. But then it's almost like, you know, what you resist persists. And the more you avoid thoughts or you develop this anxiety of, oh, if that happens to me, it's going to be terrible and I'm going to spiral and like it's going to be horrible, then the fear grows and then the resistance to it like gets stronger. And then you're creating this like internal war inside your mind. And I kind of felt like that's what was happening to me. And I was super irritable. Like on the days that I wasn't feeling good in my skin, like I feel like I would just come home and just be a bit more snippy with Max. And I so desperately wanted to be like, this has nothing to do with you. Like I feel really insecure and I feel like I've gained weight and I don't like my body. But I didn't want to say that to him because the last thing I wanted was him to look at me and be like, I've been thinking the same thing. Or him to like look at me wrong or say the wrong thing. And then my ED voice to cling to like, oh my God, so it's true. It's totally true. Like, you know, so like, that's why I also had this fear of like opening up to anyone because I didn't want anyone to like wince at me the wrong way in this conversation because like, that's how fragile I felt about it. And I want to like quickly like zoom out and recognize like, I'm not proud of the fear of the weight gain and the fear of that. That's like fat phobia 101. And it really disappoints me to like say that and to have that be thoughts that I've had. But that is the eating disorder voice, you know, and I'm just being really real about what that looks like in my head. I don't agree with it. And like I said, it disappoints me. And I know on paper through all the conversations I've had about health at every size, through all the amazing women that I've spoken to in larger bodies, there's nothing wrong with weight gain and living in a larger body. And there's nothing wrong with the word fat. I know all that stuff. And that is also why it was really hard for me to feel like Victoria in 2023, the end of last year is kind of when this was going on, to be having those thoughts. Like I was mad at myself because that's not who I am or who I want to be. And a big reason that I think this was all surfacing for me now more than it ever had is because of the rise of Ozempic and heroin chic and all these weight loss drugs. And at first I was like, oh, it was this incident with the pants and the dress. And like, you know, that's what I was thinking. And then I was like, but Victoria, you've had things like this happen to you throughout the years. Like you've had things not fit you. You've had tops from college you've gotten rid of. Like we haven't had problems with that. Like why now? And I was like, honestly, I really think this whole Ozempic thing is taking a toll on me. And I don't think I knew how much it would affect me when this was first becoming popular, but now it feels mainstream. The Ozempic craze has been really hard for me because when I was younger, all I wanted was a magic pill that would make me lose 30 pounds. That's all I wanted. I remember Googling, how do I lose 30 pounds in a month? How do I lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks? All I wanted was a quick, magical way to lose weight. And it feels like now we have that. It feels like that's what this is. It's this drug that you inject and you lose all this weight. And I feel like I'm seeing it in celebrities. I'm seeing it in everyday life. It just feels like everyone's getting smaller and Ozempic is becoming more normalized and celebrated. Honestly, when it first came out, it felt like everyone was against it. And now it feels like I see more people defending people on Ozempic than I do people who are against the use of Ozempic. And look, I'm not an expert in Ozempic and the weight loss drugs and what it does to you. I'm not. So I can't speak to that. I also want to say I have no ill will towards anyone who takes Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, any of the weight loss drugs. Like, I don't. Because like I said, there's a very real version of me who wanted that. And if Ozempic came out when I was in college, I probably would have taken it. I'm grateful to be at this place in my life where I know what I know now, and I've set up my values and what I want to feel with my body and food that I would never take it. But it is really hard. It's really hard that like this thing we all thought was impossible for weight loss is now a real thing. And the other thing that's been really hard for me to grasp with Ozempic is that it's like okay with everyone. You know, if someone finds out a celebrity's been taking Ozempic, no one's like concerned. Do you know what I'm saying? I guess here's an example. If prior to Ozempic, someone said, I'm starving myself to lose weight, or I'm only eating half of what my body needs to lose weight, we would all be so concerned. That's not good for your health. Why are you doing that? You know, you should fuel your body, listen to your hunger cues. Like, that's not okay. It wasn't, and it still isn't, right? People get concerned about like starvation. Yet now, if someone takes a drug that convinces them they're not hungry, and then they in turn eat half or less than half of what their body needs, and then they lose weight, everyone's like, it's fine, because you're numbing the sense of like the starvation. And I'm not talking about this clinically. Like, I don't, like I said, I'm not an expert in the drug, but from a high level, to me, it kind of looks like we are glorifying this new way of like kind of starving yourself because it's induced by this medicine. And because we don't perceive there to be any like really detrimental side effects at this moment. So like, who cares? Just do it if you want to lose weight. And I think that has also been what's hard for me is when it was just like dieting to lose weight and like crash diets and starving yourself, it was easy for me to, well, it was not easy for me, but towards the end of it, I was able to really understand, you know, diets don't work. It leads me down this cycle that I don't want to go down. People always end up gaining more or as much weight as they had lost back from diets, and they're not a long-term fix. It's more of a, you need to holistically look at yourself and your relationship with food. And so it was easier for me to accept, okay, this is my body, this is where I'm at, because there is no other option. And now it is seeming like there is this option, and a lot of people are doing it. And statistically, we're seeing like the decline in body positivity and body acceptance, and then the rise of heroin chic, thin is back in, and even like the Google searches of body positivity are down and the searches for weight loss are up. You know, we saw at all the fashion weeks, the inclusivity of diverse plus size curvy models is down. I mean, it's like we're literally going back in time. And I feel like even when I look at social media, I see less of the body positivity and the self-love that I used to see. And it's really sad. And that's also why I want to talk about this, because feeling like I don't have the perfect thing to say, or I'm embarrassed or disappointed with my thoughts, is just like keeping me quiet. And then I'm not a part of the conversation. And then we're just seeing like the toxic thinness rise back up. And so this is me trying to like overcome how that's affected me and kind of get back into the conversation. Also, one little thing I wrote here that I didn't want to forget is recently, like literally last week, my mom sent me a video of Aubrey and I getting ready for prom. And the first thing I noticed in this video is how much skinnier I looked. And like I said, it was this perfect example for me of like where I would have been, which honestly, I think pre-Ozempic, I would have seen the photo and been like, oh, well, I was 18 and we look so cute. And like, I'm 18. Like, I'm not, I think I was actually 17. I was 17 in this video. I haven't even finished puberty. I haven't gone to college. I haven't become a D1 athlete. I hadn't gone through everything I went through. I'm not the person I am now. Like, of course, I'm not going to have my 17-year-old body. Like, actually, cleaning out a lot of stuff in my parents' attic like 2 years ago, I came across my prom dress. Of course, I tried it on. It didn't zip. I didn't give a fuck. I didn't care because I was like, once again, so happy with myself that I'm like, you know, all good. Like, it's, you know, my prom dress from 5 years ago now. Of course it wouldn't fit me. Like, I am more of a woman now than I was when I was 17. Of course not. Yet here I was a week ago looking at this video and thinking, oh my God, I looked so much skinnier. Oh my God, did I look better when I was skinnier? Oh my God, is it possible for me to become that thin now? Like, how many pounds have I gained since this video? Like, and then I think for like an hour, it just put me into this negative place. And I'm just sitting there like trying to like levitate above my thoughts. Like, how are you weak enough that you're like, this is what your thoughts are from this video? And they're not what I just described, which is like the strong body positive, self-accepting, ED recovered Victoria that like I've known myself to be for the past lot amount of years. So, I mean, that's just like a little example of like where I feel like I've had my confidence wavering and felt more insecure.
We're going to take one more quick break in this episode to talk about our amazing sponsors. The first one being Element. I love Element. Actually, how sweet. My dad, Sweet George, was listening to a Real Pod episode this week and said, what's that thing you were talking about? The electrolyte mix? I was like, Element? He was like, yeah, Element. Like, is that really good? Should I take it? And I was like, Dad, 100% yes. And I brought him over some packets the next time I saw him. I have had the most insane month of travel. I've been fatigued, achy. I've been on the go. I've been moving my body. And Element is literally the thing that makes me feel so replenished and energized after a long day, during a long day. I feel like when the headaches are coming on and I know I'm just like deficient in my electrolytes, I pour a pack of Element in water and it's like that midday boost that revives me. And you know what's shocking is that dehydration is actually less common than electrolyte deficiency. So low electrolytes is actually more common, but most people only replace and replenish with water. But we need to focus on replenishing the lost electrolytes that we might have based on our busy days, working out, and all that jazz. Element came up with a fantastic offer just for RealPod listeners. All you have to do is go to drinkelement.com/RealPod to get a free sample pack with any purchase. This is great. You can try all the flavors. Look out for raspberry, citrus, and orange. Those are my faves. Head to drinkelement, drinkelement.com/RealPod to get a free sample pack with any purchase. Enjoy. And our final sponsor of today's episode is Factor. Kind of ironic to be talking about food on this episode, but Factor is really delicious. And Max and I literally had it for dinner last night. Factor is delicious, ready to eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted and ready to go in just 2 minutes. I like the fact that I don't have to think so much about it. We just have the different Factor meals in our fridge. And then usually Max will read them out as like a little chef. It's kind of funny. And then we choose the ones that we want to share. And then we put it in our oven. And 2 minutes later, I feel like we have a home-cooked gourmet meal ready to eat. There are over 35 different options to choose from, like protein plus, vegan, or just deliciousness. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons you can choose from to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. They also have breakfast and midday bites like pancakes and smoothies. There's a wide variety of options for the entire day. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. I'm so glad that we are now signed up for Factor. You can sign up too and save. Head to factormeals.com/realpod50 and use code realpod50 to get 50% off. That's code realpod50 at factormeals.com/realpod50 to get 50% off. Look out for the chili chorizo. It's my literal favorite. And you can get that at factormeals.com/realpod50 and use code realpod50 to get 50% off. I mean, you got to try it. You're getting 50% off. That's insane.
So I mentioned at the beginning of this episode that I like hadn't opened up to anyone. And that was true for, you know, the first like few months of feeling this way. When Max and I went to Sun Valley with Aubrey and Wood, that to me felt like a personal peak of like these heightened thoughts. And actually, speaking of these being heightened thoughts, I want to share, and I'm really proud of this,
that I have not allowed any action to follow these thoughts. So despite the fact that even from listening to this episode, you're getting a glimpse of what it has been like in my head, I have resisted the urge to count the calories, restrict, change my eating habits, or binge. And that in itself has been really hard. And I feel like I've been viewing that kind of like tapping into the athlete side of me of like, okay, our mind might be spiraling right now, but we are not going to let action align with these thoughts because we're just not. And I don't know, I've just been really steadfast in that. And of course, I've had thoughts of like when I'm ordering dinner or lunch or when I'm grabbing something to like look at the calories. I think I posted this the other day on Instagram. There's this hot sauce. I'm obsessed with Zab's hot sauce. And I was like pouring it on my salad because I love it. And I was thinking to myself, oh my God, how many calories are in this? Like I should look at it because if I'm like drenching it in my salad. And then I was like, no, we're not going to do that. Like, is my thought about the calories stronger and louder than it used to be? Yes, but I'm still not going to turn the bottle around, look at the label and let action follow. So that is something that I've been proud of myself for throughout this. Just wanted to share that. But so anyways, we're going to Sun Valley and this is where like I said, the thoughts are at a peak and I felt like it was just that reflection of like me in college. Like I felt like I couldn't even really be present in conversations because I was thinking about like how my body looked or you know, how people were perceiving what I was eating. And this is me with like my literal best friends in the world. So just the contrast of it was different. And as the first like travel day and then first day of the trip went on and I was so in my head, I actually think at one point I was on a chairlift with Aubrey and I just felt like I had tears in my eyes because like I was just like not even able to like enjoy skiing. I was thinking about like the ski pants I bought in the morning and how like the size that they were like. And then once again, I'm just like mad at myself that I'm having these thoughts. But the point is, I didn't even feel like I could really open up to my best friend in this moment because I don't know. I just felt so insecure. I wasn't ready to let anyone know. But because I was recognizing, okay, we're like not even enjoying the ski day because of this, like you can't just let this like shame monster build inside you and like hold you captive because you're pulling yourself farther away from like reality. And that night, Max and I were like going to bed and like actually the lights were off and we were laying in bed. But of course, this is like all I'm thinking about. And I don't even remember how the conversation started. I think he said something like, are you good, babe? And I was like, not really. And then he was like, I don't even want to try to recount like what was said because I don't remember. But what I do know is like I opened up to Max in this moment. And I think the first thing I said was, I'm feeling really insecure right now. And then I think he was just like, okay. And like, I kind of opened up about like everything that I've shared on this podcast. And I'm like gonna get emotional because I just felt like in this moment that like, I was so proud and lucky to have Max as my husband because he just did everything perfect that I needed in that moment. It was just like how he showed up for me, what he said, the things he didn't say, and like just making me feel like I was not alone in what I had thought I was so alone in. And like, it will go down. Like, I think I wrote this in my notes too. I was like, this goes down as like top three moments that like, I feel like Max has ever like shown up for me. And it was special. Also, we're like 2 years married, almost 2 years. We're like a year and a half. But like, to me, it felt like this is what it means to have him as my husband and like to be married to him and to know that like I never have to feel like I'm alone in something. And it did feel like the first time like there was something that I was going through that the only person in the world who knew about it, like not even my mom, not my best friends, not anyone, like it was just me and my husband. And that was special to me. And it just kind of made me realize like how silly I was to think like I couldn't talk to him about this sooner. But it was a really special moment. I guess like what I will share with that is like whether you're married or not, or you're in a relationship or not, like if you're struggling with something, that person in your life that like, you know, loves you and like is there for you, like open up to them, because I just felt so much better having had the conversation with him. I felt like I like reset. Like I felt like I woke up the next morning and like I was back to not overthinking my intuitive eating and not focusing on my body. And like, I just felt like I had a buddy and it like reset me for like, I think like a few weeks there, and it was really powerful. And so
you know, the power of opening up to someone is really profound. And I talk about that all the time, you know, open up to someone, have the conversations. And this was the first time that since overcoming my depression and anxiety, I had been faced with something that was hard for me to open up with someone about. And, you know, the facts proved and came true again. You know, you feel better when you open up to someone that you love and trust and you realize that you're not alone and then you don't have to struggle by yourself. So anyways, I opened up to Max and that was really, really helpful for me. From that point on, so that was like December, I think. It's been January, it's been February, and we're here. I definitely think that I'm in like a much better place. I don't think it like, I think about it every day. I don't think I have as much fear around it. Yes, the prom photo thing happened, you know, last week, but I feel like it was big for me to want to talk about this on Real Pod because, first of all, this is the epitome of the freaking show. These are the conversations that I want to have on here to be real, to get real. And like, it might be ugly and I might not say the perfect thing and I might not have the answers and you might not walk away from this feeling like I've inspired you. But I just want to get back to like opening up about everything because I know we're all going through our own thing in different ways. And I know I cannot be the only one. And I know I'm not the only one. I see the Instagram posts from the other creators that I really admire talking about, you know, the rise of Ozempic and heroin chic. And I want to talk more about this on Instagram. The only reason that I haven't is it stems from that insecurity of like unwarranted feedback. You know, even if people were to comment and say like, it's all in your head, you look beautiful, you haven't gained weight, I don't even want to receive that. Like I would like to exclude my body from the narrative. Like, and so that's why I haven't even wanted to talk about this is because I don't even want compliments because I don't want anything about my body because I recognize I shouldn't seek reassurance from other people or validation from other people. And I also don't like to think that there's a version of me that if someone said, oh no, you look skinny, that then I would be happy and go to sleep at night because no, that's not what I want because that's praising thinness and that's feeding the beast and I don't want to feed the beast. So I'm just really trying to work on like trying to accept my body and figure out how to navigate a world in which this magic weight loss pill exists and many people are taking it and what that's going to kind of look like for me and the rest of us recovering from body image and food issues, trying to stay strong. I will say though, real quick, because I don't want to leave you out to dry. I want to let you know the things that have been kind of keeping me sane and helping me stay like stable when it comes to my relationship with food. And I think the first thing is just like recognizing the cycle for me. Like, I know that if I give into the voice and I restrict or I look at the calories or I change my eating, then I am going to fuel that voice and it will become much more powerful. Then I will keep restricting. Then I will inevitably binge because that's my pattern. That's my history. There's no world in which I restrict and a binge doesn't happen. And then I will be unhappy and I will restrict harder and I will keep spiraling into the cycle and I will be incredibly miserable. I would be more miserable than I feel. I don't feel miserable now. That's an exaggeration, but I will just be really miserable. And so the facts of that for me are what is keeping me from, like, I think, you know, having any disordered eating habits actually creep back in. And then the last thing I'll say, and I always say this, is like recognizing what I really want. And what I really want is peace. My ED voice will say what you really want is to be super, super skinny, but that's not the truth because being super, super skinny doesn't give me peace. It doesn't give me happiness. It doesn't give me self-love. It doesn't give me any of the things that I want to have in the life that I envision having. So I want peace and I need to recognize that that's not going to bring me peace. And then lastly, I've just been trying to have loads of compassion for myself because this is hard. You know, I think for me, this was my like shake of like, you're not superwoman. Like I've been at Q&As and I've spoken at events and people have said like, you know, I guess it's always seemed like with my relationship with food, like I kind of had this big like eye-opening moment with intuitive eating and then I've kind of been smooth sailing. And honestly, that's what it was. I wasn't like sugarcoating it like that. I was an anomaly and that happened for me. This to me feels like my first big drop into the journey that is healing from anything. And so I'm just trying to recognize like no one's perfect. Like I don't have to be. I'm only human. From who I was in high school when it came to my body and food, does it make sense, Victoria, that you would be feeling this way now with these weight loss drugs? Yeah, it does. It does, because like I said, if I was 17, I would have wanted to take it in a heartbeat. And that's a version of me that existed from like the first time I thought about my body when I was 12. I have to have compassion because this is hard and it's not easy. And we live in a society that is like, has always praised thinness and being super skinny. And the pendulum is unfortunately swinging back in that direction. And, you know, like I said, I'm only human. Anyways, this was, you know, an inside look into my relationship with my body image over the past few months. I do want to assure you all that I feel like I'm in a really good spot. And if I wasn't, I wouldn't record this. And I honestly think opening up about this and hopefully connecting with you guys in the DMs will, I think, just make all of us feel better and like know even more so that, you know, there's people who are in the rise of thinness. And then there's people who are trying really hard to hold on to self-acceptance and self-love and peace. Anyways, if you made it all the way to the end, I really appreciate you for listening and being open to kind of my struggles recently. It means the world to me. And this podcast is really special to me. And it's special to me because of all of you who listen. So thank you so much for tuning in. And yeah, thank you for holding space for me. I really appreciate it. I will see you back here next week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Real Pod. If this hit home or helped you in some way, send it to a friend, a teammate, roomie, share the love, share the realness. New episodes of Real Pod come out every single Wednesday. So make sure you are subscribed to this podcast so you never miss an episode. To leave a rating or a review of the show, head to iTunes and let me know what you think. I love hearing from you. Not to mention, you can stay connected with Real Pod throughout the week, seeing behind the scenes info and sneak previews of upcoming guests by following the @RealPod account on Instagram. All information about today's show and guests will be linked in the description of this episode. Thanks again for listening. I love you guys so, so much. Let's go dominate the day. And as always, keep it real.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.